love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Okay, so we all know that workplace stress can drive you to do things that you're not really proud of. We've all done those things. We're like, sorry, I was really stressed out, man. Hiding out in the bathroom, wearing headphones that aren't even attached to anything in order to avoid talking to coworkers, pretending to talk on the phone. I got it. Leaking classified documents to the media from the NSA. I mean, how many times has that happened to you? Well, at least that's the excuse from the 25-year-old woman, and yes, this is her real name, Reality Winner. I don't think I've ever met somebody named Winner that the opposite should be her last name, really, honestly. Reality Winner, at least the parents, if that's her God-given name, you know, by her parents, I mean, really, losers. You might remember back in June, Reality was arrested on suspicion of leaking intelligence about Russian interference in the 2016 election to the website The Intercept. Now, the report suggested that Russian hackers attacked a U.S. voting software supplier. Well, Reality is back in the news, and aren't we all a tingle? She's back in the news because a transcript of the interview between her and the authorities was just released in a bid to convince a federal judge that she should not be released from jail pending trial. The transcript reveals exactly why she leaked the classified document and how. She said, "I saw the article and I was like, I don't understand why this isn't a thing. It made me very mad. I guess it's because I've just, you know, been hard at work. And I've filed a formal complaint about them having Fox News on, you know, at the office." Hang on just a second. Hang on. She filed a formal complaint because they had Fox News on at the office? I mean, and I'm quoting her, I mean, at least for God's sake, put Al Jazeera on, or a slideshow with people's pets. I've tried anything to get that channel changed. Wow. So let's just make sure we have this straight. Fox News, just it being on in the building, was stressing Reality Winner out so much so that she consciously broke the law and leaked classified documents, which, of course, we all understand, right? Just by the way, on a side note, she would rather have Al Jazeera. Let me say that again. Over Fox News, she'd rather have the poison that is Al Jazeera. And by the way, Al Jazeera America ceased operations before her complaint, so that request couldn't have been fulfilled anyway. Although, I suppose a pet slideshow could have been honored. You know, who knows? But instead of just doing her job, Reality decided to leak classified information. Now, the second part of this story is how she did it. The transcript reveals that she transported the documents in her underwear, Sandy Berger style. Reality said, "I folded it in half and put it in my pantyhose." In addition to the pantyhose confession she had on tape, she also admitted, "Yeah, I screwed up royally." Oh. Smuggling classified documents in your underwear? I mean, that's screwing up royally. I mean, I understand you had Fox News on. What were you going to do? This is apparently an epidemic on the left. The reason why I'm bringing this up is one of the three things that I think you really have to ponder today. One of the most important things of the day. We all get stressed out on little things at our job. Breaking the law and potentially putting our country at risk in order to send a political message, that's probably not the best way to handle stress. I'm just saying. Next time, do what the rest of us do. Hide in the bathroom with your headphones on, not actually listening to anything, just pretending like everybody else does.
It's Friday, September 29th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So there's a couple of things that, first of all, the Marxist professor has doubled down on Trump must hang. He tweeted, to save American democracy, it's not a democracy, it's a republic, but who am I? I'm not a professor. He said, to save American democracy, Trump must hang. The sooner and the higher, the better. Do you remember when you would say, hey, healthcare costs are too high? And they would, the left would look at you and say, oh my gosh, he's talking about lynching. That's code for lynching. Here they're actually talking about lynching the president. And the left is okay with it. Media is pretty okay with it. Antifa is also excused by the left. And we have to make sure we never excuse it. We don't excuse the Nazis, and we don't excuse Antifa. We know exactly who they are. Steven Crowder is a good friend of the program, and quite honestly, I mean, a brave guy. He went on undercover to an Antifa rally and actually infiltrated Antifa online, and has just released a video. If we could play just a couple of cuts here before we bring Steven on. Listen to this.
Plain clothes and hard tactics, and I don't think they'll know what hit them. Okay. Because they're not prepared for what we're doing.
Matt McDonald here with Fox 13 News.
We've been tracking Antifa for a long time. He was just down there at President Circle, and they were handing out sharp objects to stab people with, so they had someone come in with an AK. Why did it take two late night hosts, comedians, to find this out?
I wish you guys luck. They handed Steven Crowder a knife because they thought he was with Antifa. Steven Crowder joins us now. Hi, Steven.
Hey, Mr. Beck. Hey, I hate to ever do this to correct you. They handed my producer, Not Gay Jared, a knife because they recognized me on the streets really quickly. So we put him undercover with full wig and prosthetics. And it was my job to get him out of there because he's a frail small man, which means he fit in better with Antifa.
So, I mean, how astonished were you that they were handing out knives?
Gosh, you know, it's a good question. I go back and forth, and here's why, Glenn. Before we did this, I wondered if, well, listen, they're just calling Ben Shapiro a Nazi. They're just calling me a Nazi because they want to justify their behavior, right? They don't really think people are Nazis, but they probably won't really get violent. They just want to whip people up. And I would go back and then I realized, wait, these people are delusional. They actually think Orthodox Jew Ben Shapiro is a notorious Nazi. They actually think I'm an alt-right, you know, secret Trump administrative op. That was what surprised me most, was how delusional these people are. And worse than that, people who go and watch it, you know, it's available a lot on Fed.com, or they can search it on YouTube. They talk about bringing in AR-15s, how they have handguns. Now, listen, we all know here, I'm a supporter of the legal exercise of the Second Amendment. So you can have an AR-15, you can have handguns. But then one guy says, I have a sawed-off shotgun in my trunk, which is not legal, as far as I know, anywhere. And they talk about how their last-ditch effort is to lure. They use the word lure, is to lure them here toward the parking lot by President Circle, where these guns are in their trunk. So could it be just a bunch of big talk? Probably. You know, probably. And it was really, really hard to know who was serious with these sort of androgynous, pseudo pansexual. I don't know this one person what they were. They seem like a ragtag bunch. But at a certain point, we had to hand this over to the cops. And detectives actually thanked us for doing some of this infiltration. They had been following these people for a while, but weren't able to actually get into their groups. They installed an encrypted messaging app on our phone, which is how they communicate exclusively. They used code names, and like I said, we're a couple of late night podcast hosts. We cracked all of it. No one at ABC, NBC, CBS could figure this out. No one at any point. That's what shocked me.
So you've cracked this. You went in. You showed what they were saying. You showed that they're clearly for violence. They are talking on tape about luring people to the parking lot where they can shoot them. They actually handed your producer a knife. You're going to go down by the crowd. Here, take this knife. I mean, what was he? Was he going to mow the lawn with the knife, one blade at a time? I mean, it's clear what they were doing. So
they also handed him an ice pick. So, like, it was like It was like a clown car of weapons. They handed him a knife and then a screwdriver and then like a prison shank. It's all on tape. They handed him multiple weapons, Glenn. And we showed this to the local affiliates. We go, hey, listen, while the police there were reviewing the footage for authenticity, this local guy, the local Fox, I said, listen, here, watch this. And they're handing my producer like three weapons. And they just said, well, we're working here, kid. I said, aren't you working on news? I mean, what universe am I in?
So, Stephen, so were there any arrests made and you couldn't get any of the press at all? No press, mainstream, was interested in the video.
There were multiple arrests made. Yeah, and they were arrests made because of our content.
Right.
The girl who called herself Honeybee, her name was Jenna. And you can see in our video, she had a taser on her, and she ended up tasing some guy in the ground later that night. Not only that, you want to hear something? I know that there's this is serious, but what's crazy and what is funny is how the media doesn't take any of this seriously. After she was in police custody, they still didn't boot my producer off the encrypted app. She told my producer, "You better give me that knife back, or I'll involve the police." People are delusional.
Oh my gosh. You're worried about a stolen knife in the spot.
How did you infiltrate it from the beginning? Like, what was the process of actually getting them to trust you guys?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not that smart. And because I'm not that smart, I work really, really hard. And I have a team of people who are brilliant. And I have a researcher, a guy, just call him Reg. And we actually had been... We have several accounts that are involved in these groups. So if nothing else, Antifa will have to look over their shoulder for the rest of their lives. They'll never know who's real and who's not. So we had several accounts in there that were created. We got into their private groups after they were announced as an officially recognized terrorist organization. They started playing everything really close to the chest. So we were in a private closed circuit group, met with them there. They did some vetting looking at these accounts, and so we would populate these accounts that look really left. You wouldn't be able to know if you were to look at it. There's a long-standing history. You know, it would take months or years for someone else to try and do what we've been doing. We've been doing this for a long time. And then we met with their leader. I don't know if it's a male or female. You can watch the tapes. I really don't know. Which is like a gift from God, because as a comedian, it's like, it still makes this funny. You know, Tank is a transgender. So we met with them. My producer, Jared, met with them. They installed an encrypted messaging app on the phone, which doesn't allow you to take screenshots, doesn't save anything. I think these messages are self-destructing. Luckily, we have another phone, so we could just take pictures of the screen with our other phone. They didn't think this one through, and they started communicating. And what's hilarious is, I mean, they're so easy to trick. So they were communicating, like, screen names Firebird, Ski Mask, Xevious, and then Will. So we immediately found him on Facebook.
Will.
That's a good code name.
We found out where he lived.
How do they know? How do they know my name is Bill? It's not Will. My name is Bill.
I mean, if you want to use a real name, just call yourself Bob.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
And then there was this one lady. To give you an idea, they're so egotistical. Later that day, there was a black girl who assaulted somebody. And so... what we did was, with one of the profiles posted, hey, yeah, slay, girl, slay, like, you go, you know, just posted this video randomly, and sure enough, she showed up, and she said, hey, that's me, so we immediately ID'd her as well. It was so easy and so quick, because we know how they operate, and they crave this attention among their peers.
So did you take the group as a whole, Steven, as a real threat, or a bunch of morons?
Here's the thing. I know that in different cities there are different kinds of Antifa, right? So these kids were kind of sad, you know. But in other cities, they look, you know, you look at it and it looks like it's, oh my gosh, is that like a prison gang? So the one constant is violence. And people watching this video, you know, we aggregated a bunch of content as their radio interviews. You know, when they do speak out, they have said they are very willing to commit violence. That's what differentiates them from most other groups, is their willingness to commit violence basically as policy. And here's the thing. They call everyone a Nazi. And so they say it is justifiable to punch Nazis. That's part of their policy. Well, they call Ben Shapiro a Nazi. They call me a Nazi. So what are they going to call you? They justify if someone films them, they see that as a violence worthy offense because they claim you have no right to film them. That's a violation of their rights. So they can physically assault you. So they justify violence. They'll say we only justify violence in self-defense. But self-defense can be, hey, you're a Nazi, or hey, you're filming me with your Android. So that is what I will say. These kids, you know, I don't know. There could have been a lot of talk. They did have weapons. They did have tasers. Some of them were arrested. But it really could erupt and come to a head and get a lot worse unless people start calling them out for what they are. Here's the thing. When the media says, you know, it's every single local story, this was at Ben Shapiro's speech, was people showing up to protest controversial speaker Ben Shapiro, but they didn't call him controversial. They called him a Nazi. So when the press says Ben Shapiro, extreme conservative, but they don't say protesters who call him a Nazi and or burn the flag and bring shivs to the event, guess what? They've changed that narrative. Ben Shapiro is the extremist.
Yeah.
The person with the ice pick screwdriver in clown car trunk full of armaments is nobody.
But I will tell you this, Stephen. I don't think the American people, when they see those people in the masks, you know, acting the way they are, throwing and breaking glass and you know, turning over cars, whatever. I don't think people see those guys as the good guys. I don't think even the people on the left. I've talked to people who are big time leftists. Or I shouldn't say leftists, real diehard Democrats. And they have said, I'm more afraid of our side than I am of your side. I mean, your side is in control. Our side, the Antifa stuff on the college campuses is way out of control. Thank you for exposing this, Stephen. Really appreciate it. You can find him at louderwithcrowder.com. And he does a late night thing. And if you don't know Stephen, you need to. He is an up and coming superstar and doing some really amazing work. Thanks, Stephen.
LouderWithCrowder.com is where Stephen Crowder is, as well as at CRTV.com. And you can watch that whole Antifa video, which is freaking amazing. Amazing piece of work. And check that out as well.
He wrote me last night. I didn't see the video. I should have watched the video before he got on. But he wrote to me last night. And he's like, hey, did you see this? And you know, he was emailing me. And I just couldn't believe it. I can't believe that it's that easy that a comedian can go in and get this done. But nobody else is interested. I want to tell you about John and Jennifer. John and Jennifer live in Illinois, and they recently were married. And between them, they own two homes, and they had to sell one of the houses. So Jennifer has a townhome. They decided to sell that one. Fortunately, thank you, Jennifer. She is a listener to the Glenn Beck program, and she heard me talking about realestateagentsitrust.com. And so Jennifer reached out, and she connected with the Real Estate Agents I Trust. And in less than 48 hours, they were meeting with Jennifer and John, and the new real estate agent, Saul, was over. Better call Saul. Saul and his team quickly got to work, and in less than a week, they received multiple offers on the townhome. Happy to report, the newlyweds now, John and Jennifer, only have one home, and they sold her townhouse, closed in less than 6 weeks. Why? Because the people that we line people up with realestateagentsitrust.com, if you're looking for a real estate agent, we're going to line you up with the one in your town that has, that they're all fans of the show. They're all, they have same kind of ethics that we all have. And they know everything's a system of merit. Get it done. Stop talking about it. Just get it done. We're going to help you find a great real estate agent in your town. Thousands of families have already put realestateagentsitrust.com to the test. The results are remarkable. Check them out for yourself. Realestateagentsitrust.com. Sell your home on time and for the most money, or buy with realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck.
You see, Elon Musk's, he released yesterday his VFR, which...
BFR, wasn't it?
VFR.
Was it BFR?
Or
I thought it was BFR.
BFR. Yeah. Yeah, I think it is BFR.
Like big
effing rocket. I think that's what it is. I'll bet you that's what it is.
Yeah.
And this thing is 40 stories tall. The largest rocket ever made was the Atlas rocket. It has the thrust of 4 or 5 Atlas rockets. It can put a 747 in the cargo hold. It's amazing.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We have an update on the Mad Pooper story.
We do. Did they find her?
We have found the Mad Pooper.
It's okay. So if you don't know this story, mm-hmm. where is it? Colorado.
Yeah.
Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. I think. There's this woman who, do you have a picture of her?
I do not, no.
Okay. So she looks normal. We've only seen pictures of her from the back, and she's, you know, wearing her workout clothes, and she looks fit and normal, and, you know, I don't know what somebody who poops in people's front yard look like, but...
Mm-hmm. You didn't explain that part of the story yet.
Yeah. So she's this normal woman who apparently just moved into the neighborhood or is just starting to do this, but nobody knew who she was. She goes for these jogs every day, and... several times during the jog, she'll stop, pull down her pants, and crap in somebody's front yard like a dog. And people are like coming out of their house and like, hey, what are you doing? And she pulls up her pants and she runs away. She did it at a CVS. They have bathrooms right inside, lady. She did it right by the parking, you know, in the median. And so the police have been looking for her. People have been saying, hey, you know, they're calling her the Mad Pooper. If you see her, we need to talk to her about hygiene. So they found her.
They did, kind of. And I have to say, I am going to come in the skeptical side of this particular update. Because the Mad Pooper story needs to have a conclusion. I think we all agree on that.
Oh, I think so.
That's
yes.
a definite. But this update is questionable to me. A man claiming to be the spokesman... of a jogger named the Mad Pooper, who reportedly has been, as you said, doing her business on the lawns of Colorado homes and in CVS parking lots, says the woman is struggling after gender reassignment surgery and as she battles a traumatic brain injury. Now, that first part, you're like, okay, wow, this is really a sad story and, you know, it's not really funny anymore. And, you know, I hope she's okay. That's kind of how I reacted when I read that. However, it gets a little stranger as we go. The unidentified man, so we don't know who this is. How is this a news story? This is, by the way, Fox News is reporting this. How is this a news story?
Wait. The unidentified man?
He just said he was the spokesman for the Mad Pooper. They don't even know his name, but they're reporting it. Now, it could be that the Mad Pooper is such an important story that any minor development, any twist and turn in this this incredible tale must be brought to our attention.
Of course,
and
yes.
Of course, I believe that as I'm doing it. So I want that's clear. KRDO had reported this, I guess, a station in Colorado. Now, the YouTube video in which he claimed this has since been removed. So, again, do we know if this guy is really the spokesman? Why does she have a spokesman? Most pooping does not come along with a spokesperson. There's no PR.
Maybe there's a PR crisis firm that, you know, like, hey, have you been caught pooping in people's yards? Call us.
Right. Okay.
I'm not sure.
Right. So, okay. So let's just say this is a really sad start to this. Now, he said he was speaking on the behalf of the jogger named Shirley, and said Shirley can no longer control herself after undergoing the gender reassignment surgery. So far, you might say maybe, right? Okay. They posted this, then he thought better of it, deleted it, never identified themselves, maybe, right? And it's a sad thing, hopefully not true. This is where it kind of loses me, though. He added, the jogger's actions are protected under the First Amendment.
Oh, my gosh.
And the government cannot control when and where she decides to do her business.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
Now, I'm as libertarian as they come.
Yeah, right. But you're not pooping in my front yard. I'm sorry.
That is not a constitutional principle.
No. Let's find that one in the Bill of Rights.
Right.
If you're pooping in somebody's yard as a statement, like I'm going to the, I'm going to the White House and I'm going to poop on the front lawn. I still don't think you can do that, but you're at least trying to get into the First Amendment.
It's a little closer.
That's the way I speak. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people talk right through their butt. So maybe, but you better be a good attorney.
Yeah.
If you're just coming and crapping in my lawn, I'm sorry. There's no right for you. No.
No, I don't think so. No. Now, a criminal defense attorney addressed this First Amendment claim.
How much money was spent on this story?
I don't know, but I love it. Jeremy Lowe, he said, defecating in someone's yard is definitely not protected under the First Amendment, and it's actually a crime. This is actually the worst thing the family could do. Maybe they thought the videos would make the situation go away, but they won't. People all over the world are talking about this, and the police will catch her. The man in the video will also be called in court to testify. So no First Amendment protection for the mad pooper. And I find that to be very shocking and sad. Because I think if the bad pooper can't get the constitutional rights she deserves, who can? You know, that's how I look at it. It's that serious. And on the other side,
there's so many jokes, but they all have expletives in them.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So there's a lot of jokes. I think we should.
Another important update. This one actually is an important update, but to a bizarre story. Mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia has, after the big controversy that we talked about earlier in the week, where they were saying women shouldn't be able to drive because their brains shrink two sizes too small when they go shopping.
No, do not take a science from Saudi Arabia and twist it.
Okay. All right.
Look at you.
I do.
It's not what he said. What he said was, if you go shopping as a woman, you go ahead. Yeah, let him say it, because he says it so much better. Go ahead. No, that's not it.
Ooh, wrong one.
That's not it. You have it?
لأنها ما تليق بها السياقة وهي لا تملك إلا ربع.
Okay. Now listen to that.
ناقصة عقل ولا لا.
Okay. So
it's a lot clearer.
In case you didn't know, what he said was, the first time that you go and a woman goes shopping, she loses half of her brain. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Not, she doesn't lose it, right? It shrinks.
It shrinks.
Okay.
Yeah, she doesn't lose it.
Mm.
It's not like lost and found.
Hey, it doesn't come out like a little small credit card size slot in her head.
Stop it. We're talking science. So it shrinks to half the size.
Okay.
If she goes shopping once. If she goes again, it shrinks again by half. So now it's only a quarter. If she would go a third time, it's an eighth. And every time she goes shopping, it gets smaller and smaller. So women are never fully brainless. Okay, because we're just cutting it in half each time. So
there'll always be something left.
There's always something left, but that's why they can't drive. Now,
I will say, shrinking two sizes too small, I thought pretty well summarized that. I mean, the only thing I didn't add is extra shopping.
Trips. That turns you into the Grinch.
I know.
And
perhaps
there's more than what comes in boxes and bags. I'm just saying,
it's possibly true. Ahead. Okay. Yeah. So Saudi Arabia now, after that controversy, and the reason why that clip happened apparently is they were in a big debate over whether women would be able to drive. Now,
right.
That women.
And everybody says
no.
No.
But
I mean, when you say yes until you have science that backs it up, like he had.
Now there's real science. Yeah. So anyway, Saudi Arabia was the only country on earth that did not allow women to drive. And that is actually going to change now. They were the only one that would impose the driving restrictions. The royal decree will now implement the provisions on traffic regulations, including the issuance of driving licenses for men and women alike. I mean, as bad and ridiculous as this is, it's actually a big step forward for them. And
you know, what's truly amazing is we're talking about oppression and how bad things are. And yet there was a serious discussion on television in a relatively modern society, a big player in the world, serious discussion about how a woman's brain shrinks every time she goes shopping. We're oppressed? No, I think we're pretty good. You know, the other thing that kills me about that story is they're debating whether or not the women should drive, and they decided, oh, you know what, women can drive. Can they have another debate? Shouldn't there be another debate? Hey, Should we let the guy who says that women's brains are cut in half every time they go shopping, should he have a broadcast license? Should he be able to broadcast this nonsense out? I'm just saying. Saudi television, always entertaining.
The First Amendment might be a few steps away from where they are right now, so I don't know.
I mean, that's what I mean. It's not America. They can take him off the air and cut his hands off. Yeah. You know, they don't like it. They'll just cut your tongue out, and everybody will be like, okay, well, that's what happens. No, that's normal.
No, it's not a surprise you'd take a stand against science. I'll say that.
I have to tell you, I think I took a very pro-woman stance there. Very pro-woman stance. I was the one on this show that said, there it is. Women are not ever thoroughly brainless.
That's true. You made it impossible to claim that.
So I'm the pro-woman one on this program.
Why they call you a feminist?
Is that what they call me?
No. It starts with an F, though.
If you're a gun owner, can you say with 100% confidence that your family and your home are safe? What happens? A woman comes into your house and pulls a gun. And she hasn't been shopping. She's got the full brain. Now, yes, of course, science will tell us that she's probably incapable. She'll probably say at some point, how do I turn this thing on? But let's just say that she's got the full brain and somebody has shown her how to turn the gun on. Then what do you do? She's coming at you. You don't know if she's been shopping. You don't know what's going to happen. You have to pull your gun. Well, in Saudi Arabia, you don't have to worry about it because you could kill her and then throw her body out back and it's no big deal. Here in America, we kind of frown on that stuff. Concealed Carry and Family Defense Guide from the U.S. Concealed Carry Association is 100% free, and it will actually talk to you about real issues that you are going to face and to make sure that you're really prepared and how your family needs to be prepared. I mean, before you send your kids to college, do they know how to detect attackers before they see you or how to survive a mass shooting? It's crazy that we have to learn this, but, you know, other countries have learned it a long time ago. It is our turn. Also, you shoot that brainless woman. What happens? You're living someplace where, you know, the cops are going to come. I just told you a story, I think yesterday or the day before, of three guys break into a guy's house. He happens to be a former, I think, ranger. He has a gun. He pulls it. He holds the guys at gunpoint. When the cops arrive, they arrest him. How's that even possible? Now, he would have gone to jail and would have ended up broke because it'll take you about 3 years to get this behind you. Luckily, he had the USCCA in his back pocket. For a limited time now, you're going to be able to get the 164 pages and a bonus audio version so you can listen to that or share it with your family and teach it to your family. But the thing I really want you to look at when you go to the USCCA website is their insurance, because they are the ones who, as soon as that guy, pulled the gun, he was in trouble in his area. He knew he was a card-carrying member of the USCCA, so he knew exactly what to do. He called the USCCA right after the police were called, and he said, the police are coming. They were on it. They lined up an attorney. They took care of everything, so he was back home with his family and didn't have to worry about being bankrupt. For a limited time, you're also going to get a bonus home defense checklist. So go to protectanddefend.com right now. 100% free instant access to all this information. Make sure you check out the insurance program that they have. It's protectanddefend.com. Protectanddefend.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So lots of things we're going to talk about. Bill O'Reilly's coming up in a second. We want to talk about health care. Want to talk about the taxes with Bill O'Reilly. But also, Senator Ben Sasse, I don't know if you heard this. In the minds of goober conservatives, the Russians are to blame for racial divisions. This is what was tweeted by Richard Spencer. Okay. Ben Sasse, who I think could run for president in 2020, 2024, and possibly win, be the president of the United States, he said this. One, his responses. One, oh, let goobers and non-goobers agree on this. Racists like you are to blame, but Putin's agencies also love using you as their divisive tool. Next tweet. Don't get me wrong, we'll always have brown shirt pajama boy Nazis like you and your lonely pals stoking division, but here's an America 101. Don't get America? Or you don't get America. You said you do not have some human right, some abstract thing given to you by God or something like that, end quote. Actually, that's exactly what America declares we do have. People are the image bearers of God, created with dignity and inalienable rights. The fifth tweet was, sadly, you don't understand human dignity. A person's skin, ancestry, and bank balance have nothing to do with their intrinsic value. This declaration of universal dignity is what America is all about. Madison called our Constitution the greatest reflection on human nature. You talk about culture, but you don't know squat about Western heritage, which sees people not as tribes, but as individuals of limitless worth. The celebration of universal dignity is our culture, and it rejects your white culture, crybaby politics. It rejects all identity politics. Sometime after moving back into your parents' basement, you knockoff Nazis fell in love with a reheated 20th century will to power garbage. Your ideas aren't just hateful, un-American poison. They're also just so dang boring. Only Ben Sasse would use the word dang. The future doesn't belong to you, your stupid memes. Get a real job, clown. Find an actual neighbor to serve. You'll be happier. Have a nice day.
That's a great response.
He's not only the only one who used dang, but especially on Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
Where like the F-bombs flow pretty heavily.
Have you noticed that's really common everywhere now? I mean, everywhere.
It's interesting. Like, I don't even remember when this happened, but now like a lot of normal television stations like USA,
yeah,
S-bombs all the time in primetime programming.
I think it's just I don't know when it happened, but in the last 10 years, it's everywhere now. I mean, I was actually listening to a preacher dropping F-bombs, and I'm like, what? When did that happen?
That wasn't a preacher.
It was. No. It really was.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Do you remember when you get a Coke and a pack of M&Ms from a vending machine? Man, thank goodness we got rid of those evil sugary snacks in schools and college campuses during the Obama years. Boy, oh boy. Have you seen the numbers on obesity? It's way down, or exactly the same, or a little higher. Michelle Obama was worried about American kids being just too fat. And so she helped push through a law to replace the Twix that everybody wanted with a carrot stick that nobody wanted. Now some state colleges are moving on from obesity to attack a new problem, like the embarrassment and shame, specifically the embarrassment college women may feel when they have to go to a pharmacy and ask for an expensive morning after pill because they had unprotected sex with someone the night before, and then they have to go up and actually talk to a human being and say, "Can I have that pill?" They have to face the judgmental glare of a pharmacist or another customer in line. Unthinkable. I mean, are there no safe spaces for the consequences of the promiscuous sex? Is there nothing? I need an empathy tent. It's an outrage, right? What is a caring university to do? Well, they're going to put a discreet, convenient, safe space where co-eds can skip past all that awkward, judgy human interaction thing and get the pregnancy-blocking drugs they so desperately need. How about a vending machine? Yes, that's exactly what they're going to do, and they've called it Wellness to Go. It sells condoms and morning-after pills and, of course, Advil, you know, for the hangovers. Well, that sounds like Wellness to Go, doesn't it? Wellness to Go vending machines, they are real. Stanford is the latest of a handful of colleges leading the charge on this effort. A female student at UC Davis said, a lot of students, like the judgment-free space. Oh, I bet you do. Wouldn't it be great if you could live in a judgment-free space your whole life? No matter what you did, no one would ever, ever, ever question you or look down on you or say, well, that was stupid, wasn't it? Man. She goes on, quote, you don't have to feel the pressure of interacting with people. Oh my gosh, I never thought of that. You know what also would stop that? If we just got rid of all of the people, then I'd never have to talk to people or interact with them ever again. We are trying to accomplish something truly remarkable in human history. I think the Nazis did it. Stalin also did it a little bit. Mao, just a pinch of this as well. We're attempting to eliminate anything that we don't like, anything that makes us feel guilty, uncomfortable, any kind of feeling that we don't like, any consequence, any responsibility for our own actions. I mean, Mao never took the responsibility of killing, what was it? What was it, 20 million people in 5 years on his farming experiment? He's like, eh. He was in a safe zone. Trying to make life one never-ending pleasure cruise is not what life is really all about. Not only is that impossible, it's dangerous, and it is literally killing our society.
It's Friday, September 29th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I warn you right now, for the next 40 minutes or so, this is not going to be a safe zone. Oh, he's going to say things that are uncomfortable for you to hear. It's Bill O'Reilly. Very uncomfortable things are going to be said. He's going to talk about responsibility and history and perspective. And I warn you, it's not that you're going to be uncomfortable. You will be unsafe for the next few minutes. Welcome to the program, Bill O'Reilly. How are you, sir?
Boy, you're maligning me already, Beck. Well, I am here to spread.
Yeah, love.
Spread joy.
Joy, love, joy. Yeah. Mm. So, Bill.
Yes.
I have a question for you. First of all, it was good to see you on Fox this week, and good to see a number one finish. I think one of the first ones they've had since you left.
But it was had a big, big night on Tuesday, yeah. And it was very interesting.
Yeah, it was. Could I ask you a question? And you may not, you don't have to answer this, but it's not rhetorical. If you were so dangerous that you had to be removed from the building and your show taken off, why would you ever have you on as a guest?
Look, Beck, I told you from the very beginning, and I told everybody, and I had a written statement. All right, that it was a pure business decision made, and we all know because you went through it yourself, Beck.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, that the evil far left cabal put together a fiction, a fantasy to silence my voice like they did with you and many, many others, and then they tried it with Sean Hannity, and it didn't work with Sean Hannity. So he has empathy for me. We actually Hannity and I have built a big empathy tent on my front lawn.
Oh my gosh! Well, they're becoming very popular. They're very nice. So wait a minute.
Any thinking American, and this is what is the crux of your question and my answer.
Yeah.
Any thinking American knows what happened, and let's just make sure it doesn't happen again to anyone.
So no, actually, any thinking American is thinking to themselves right now, with number three finishes since you left, any thinking American is thinking they should put Bill O'Reilly back on. Is there a possibility you go back to Fox News?
Look, I can't speak to any of that at this point because we still have legal stuff going on, and we're going to.
So what you're saying here? Let me just say what I'm hearing is you're not officially finished with the paperwork that you're not necessarily on Cobra yet. So it wouldn't be that hard to reverse the thrusters.
It's a little bit more complicated than that. When I left, I formed a legal team.
Yeah.
All right, and I told them, you get to the bottom of this with names. with dates, with everything that you can get, and we're going to put it out to the American public.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we started it a couple of weeks ago with a woman who was arrested in Detroit, filing a false police report.
Tell that story. Right. We told it that, but it's worth retelling.
Yeah, she was charged. This is a woman who I never saw before, never spoke before, who went on The View and said I said untoward things to her.
And she was the one who said you called her hot chocolate or something
like
that.
Yeah, all of that. Total lie, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay? And again, I never even saw the woman in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know.
Explain what she did, what happened in Detroit.
All right. So she, a few years ago, calls the police, tells the police that a man threatened to harm her. The police come. The story turns out to be bogus. She's arrested and charged.
Okay, wait a minute. You are, for a broadcaster of your skill, that was a terrible telling of that story. Here's what happened. She is at home. She has a disagreement with her boyfriend. She says, I'm going to call the police and tell them that you are pistol whipping me. And he says, no, you're not. I don't have a pistol. And she says, oh, you watch me. She calls police. She tells them, I'm being beaten with a pistol by this guy. Help, help, help. 911, they come. The cops, you know, come in. They begin, they look at the situation. Doesn't look like anybody's being beaten. And they say, where's the gun, ma'am? And she said, well, he didn't have a gun. Well, was he beating you? Well, no, he wasn't beating me. Wow. They arrested her.
Right.
For making a false
charge. And charged her.
Right.
And then in addition to that, the stuff that she said I said, she had tweeted 3 or 4 years earlier. She had tweeted the exact phrases she was talking about herself. So
she called herself hot chocolate?
You know, thank God that Newsmax put it out, because we gave it to others and they wouldn't, because, no, you can't demonize a victim. I said, there is no victim. Oh, no. So with the fix is in, everybody knows that the wider question and the wider problem for America is, this is not just happening to me. And I, when I was on Hannity on Tuesday, I recommended Cheryl Atkinson's book, Smear, which goes through it, and Beck is featured prominently in that book. All right. It goes through it, who's doing it, where's the money coming from, and it's been, there hasn't been anybody that said Cheryl got it wrong.
No, However, I tell you,
Bill.
Have
you seen Cheryl on 60 Minutes? Have you seen her on the CBS Morning News or Morning America?
No, she's been removed and her voice has been silenced. But I was shocked. I didn't know. I had no idea I was in that book of Cheryl's. And the first chapter or two are about me, because she said they perfected it with me.
Yes.
They used me as the guinea pig, the first
and
one.
Who wouldn't be if you were looking for a guinea pig?
Well,
who wouldn't?
So now that's not
want to use Glenn Beck.
I mean, that's really not helpful here, Bill. It's really not helpful.
I'm sorry.
Let me ask you some more uncomfortable. Have they offered you your spot back?
No.
At Fox?
No.
When are they going to?
I'm telling you.
I know. You're going to. You'll tell me whatever you have to tell me now, because you're in negotiations with Fox and you don't want to say anything.
That's what America heard, Bill.
That's what America heard.
That young British woman. Peace, love, truth, honor. Okay,
whatever.
Come on back.
Whatever. I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay. So, Bill.
The beginning of your show.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't listen to my show.
Okay. There's a bell in there.
So, Bill, let's switch gears and let me please try to pry you off of all of this Fox nonsense. and get to the tax plan of Donald Trump.
Yes.
There's some good things in it. There's some okay things in it. It would be great if this is where we ended. Why does he negotiate and start at such a place? I mean, it's like he doesn't understand the Overton window at all. It's like you should be saying, we're going to abolish the IRS. And then when you get down to, okay, we'll keep the IRS, but it's going to be a flat tax of 20%. Everybody's like, wow, well, that's so much more reasonable.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about.
He starts so
they don't
wishy-washy.
Yeah, right. They don't use any strategic thinking and presentation. I can't speak for the president or his advisors. I really don't know why they do what they do. I think that most people in America, most working people, honest people, would benefit from this. That's really all I care about. It looks like it's fair in the sense that it would give people more power. Money is power, okay? And that's what I want to do. I want to empower the individual so they can have as a good life as possible.
But let's say if you're struggling,
yeah,
and you're struggling to make ends meet. You were, I don't know, fired, and you had to leave with a $25 million settlement, and
rough today.
And you're struggling. Somebody who has that could end up paying a lot more in taxes under this, because it looks like they're going to come after people who do make a lot of money.
Yeah, people at the high end will pay more, or it will be flat. So when Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader for the Democrats, comes out and says this is welfare, he's lying.
Oh my gosh, it just drives me nuts.
All right. Now, the real objection is the corporate tax, because as Bernie Sanders put it, this is unfair, more billionaires. And you look at these people and you say there isn't any tax cut, all right, that you would approve.
No.
That's going to stimulate the economy. You just will not do it. But here's the fascinating part. If Donald Trump doesn't get it passed, I don't think he's going to be reelected. I mean, I think that'll be the end.
Wow.
I really do. Do you think he will get this passed?
You know, what it's going to come down to is who's going to sabotage him in his own party. And that's kind of like we should have a guessing contest. Which Republican senators are going to turn and stab Trump in the back, in the face, in the front? So let's say Susan Collins, who really isn't a Republican, she's from Maine. She'll figure out a way not to vote for it, right? That's mm-hmm. likely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rand Paul, you would think that he would vote for it. Because if he doesn't, that he's over. I mean, they'll never reelect him in Kentucky ever. So you figure he's in. John McCain, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he walks on in and go, it's just not right.
John McCain, honestly, John McCain is making, Ted Kennedy look like a conservative lately.
So you say McCain and Collins, that's two. So he needs, if he gets two more defections, he's in trouble, because Schumer has threatened all the Democratic senators by saying, look, if you vote for a tax cut, number one, we'll run somebody against you in your primary. And number two, we'll cut off every penny from the Democratic National Committee so you won't have any money.
Bill O'Reilly, we'll be back with him in just a second. We have a lot to talk to Bill about. If we can get him to just pipe down about his triumphant return to Fox. He's also got a new book out. It's Killing England, and you can get that book in bookstores everywhere. And we'll probably touch base on that book a little bit as well. Every successful business has great talent, but where do you find that great talent to make your business and take it up to the next level? ZipRecruiter is there, and it's not a job site. This is a system or a platform that helps you not have to worry about the candidates finding you. ZipRecruiter goes out and finds them for you. 80% of the people who post a job on ZipRecruiter receive a quality candidate to the site by the end of day number one. So what it does is you post your job opening through ZipRecruiter, and it goes out and it not only posts it on 100 plus job sites with a single click, but then it goes out and it matches what you're looking for out on all of the job sites where people are saying, hey, I have this skill. And it goes in and finds those people and matches them to you, and then puts it in an easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and find the most qualified candidate with immediate results. It's ZipRecruiter.com. You can try it for free now. If you're an entrepreneur, this is for you. ZipRecruiter.com. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So, Stu, do you ever watch the Bill O'Reilly podcast, the No Spin News?
Yeah.
Just, wow, that sounded convincing.
Absolutely.
Do you notice
on BillO'Reilly.com? Is that
yes.
what you're saying?
Yeah. Do you notice that he's not wearing the suit?
Really?
He's, yeah, he's very good.
I mean, yeah, of course I've noticed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Bill, you're going casual an awful lot. I wanted to know if you've heard about... If you've heard about Forever 21 coming out with a new Taco Bell clothing line.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to dress like a burrito.
Yeah, right. I mean, what have we come to when Taco Bell has a clothing line out that is going to be sold in the malls?
Well, you know, they better watch out or Media Matters will boycott them like Ivanka Trump.
Right. Boy, the Ivanka Trump stuff is just...
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we were talking about previously, that what did Ivanka Trump do to anyone? Nothing. So these idiots get to Nordstrom's and they say, hey, you know, if you don't dump her clothing line, we're going to put the color of change outside all the Nordstrom stores and scream you're a racist. How long are Americans going to put up with this? That's my question. How long are we the people going to put
Bill,
up with this?
Well, Bill, we don't even know what the freedom of speech means in this country anymore. I mean,
well, that's one of the reasons, and I'm sure we'll get to Killing England, the number one book in the country right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again.
But people have got to do it themselves. They've got to start to get away from the machines and get away from just being interested in what their own pursuits are and say, you know what? Our freedoms are really under siege. This country is changing for the worse. And they did that to some extent with the NFL, Beck. Last night, you didn't see anybody sitting. All the players stood up.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they were tickling each other and doing the lumbata, but they didn't kneel.
I'm fine with that.
Right?
The lumbata?
Yeah. The dance of love.
The dance of lumbata. I think that's a partial lobotomy and a dance move, but I'm not sure.
Right.
But
something like that.
Yeah. All right. But the thing on this was even Donald Trump was wrong on freedom of speech. He said, you know, they should be fired. Well, I mean, as a private corporation, yes they could.
That's where he was coming from.
Yeah, but he's also the president of the United States. I mean, that's, you know, you don't want the president. I wouldn't have wanted Barack Obama to say things like that. Because usually he was saying it about people like me and you. So
here's why I don't care about that anymore. He gets everybody, Trump does, engaged. So everybody starts to pay attention. That's hard to do.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we're out of time. I just cut Bill O'Reilly off. Back with more of Bill here in a second.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Back with Bill O'Reilly, friend of the program, and of course, you know, best-selling author, number one on television for 150,000 years, and just an icon of our society. And we're thrilled to have him on. Let me switch to healthcare, Bill, because I think when you said, which I think is pretty important, what you just said about taxes, that you don't think if Donald Trump doesn't get this passed, you don't think he will be president or he'll win in 2020. I think this is going to cause, the healthcare thing is going to cause so much damage to everyone involved that I don't know how any of this shakes out. Because they failed to repeal or replace Obamacare, 47 out of the 50 cities in America, Obamacare coverage will be unaffordable by the end of next year. And in so much, the families will need to incur an extra $28,939 before a plan will become affordable. On average, the family of three will now have to earn a six-figure salary or $110,823 for coverage to be affordable because of Obamacare. This is going to change the landscape of everything politically.
Okay. Very interesting analogy, but there's a difference. Because I do this BillO'Reilly.com thing, I have much more access to individuals because they can reach me faster and more direct, okay?
Yep.
We've got hundreds of thousands of people now that I hear from, not all of them, but we have a lot of input coming in.
Right.
When the healthcare thing went down, the vast majority of my audience, which is not a strictly conservative audience, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's traditional, but not strictly conservative.
Yes, I agree.
Weren't that angry at Trump, okay? Their anger was turned into McCain and the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they don't know who Susan Collins is or Murkowski. And they saw that Trump wanted to repeal and replace, but he was sabotaged. That won't happen with the tax cuts because the tax cuts are so much more immediate. And Trump promised that it would happen. Yes, he promised Obamacare would go away too, but this was the economic basis upon which Trump was elected, that he is a problem solver in the economic realm, that he can get things done, that he can make deals. That's why he was elected.
Right.
One, the folks will tolerate, and it'll come back, because you're right. I mean, people are going to just, when they see what's going to happen in the next 2 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
When literally you have to make $110,000 to afford insurance, it'll be horrible.
And it's going to be horrible for the Democrats, because the Democrats are invested in this insanity.
But so are the Republicans.
Some are. But the tax cut, Trump's got to make the deal. He's got to make the deal. Or the independents, which decide elections now, will flee. Not his base. He'll keep his base at 33-35%. But the others, the independents, will flee.
So have you heard about the Retirement Income Security Act of 1974, ERISA? The Employment Retirement Income Security Act.
ERISA.
Can you explain this, Stu?
Yeah, it's an interesting move by Trump, and they're talking about doing it now. And it's being reported as he's going to have some big executive order that's going to overturn Obamacare. I don't read it that way at all. When you look at the details, basically the act was from the 70s. It allows big companies, that's how it's typically been used, to create their own healthcare systems. And they don't have to deal with any of the regulations. So they can insure their employers without having to deal with all what they now have as Obamacare regulations. And the way it's typically been interpreted is this idea of commonality, people all working for IBM, right, can be interpreted a bunch of different ways.
In other words, you could say all Catholics.
All Catholics or all farmers. And so the idea is, Trump is just going to interpret this law on the loose end, meaning that it's not going to have to be a super tight reason that you have commonality, but really a much looser definition of that word, which I don't think is an executive order. It's an interpretation difference, and it's the type of thing that could be overturned by the next president. But it would essentially allow people to go into separate healthcare systems outside of Obamacare and get much, much lower rates. It's a pretty big deal. And of course, they're also saying that they think it's going to collapse Obamacare because, getting around those restrictions and all the crazy regulations are going to change the cost structures.
Well, it'll change the cost structure because the healthy people that are responsible, that want health care for their family, they'll be the industrious ones that will do this. And that'll just leave the sick and the ones who are just going to join up when they get sick into the government system, which we also said that's inevitable. That's what's going to happen. So have you followed this at all, Bill?
I feel like I'm listening to an episode of Dr. Kildare.
Really? Because that's amazing, because I'm not old enough to remember Dr. Kildare.
How about Ben Casey?
No. Marcus Welby, kind of. Mm-hmm. But okay. I'm more of emergency, you know, Squad 51 kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I think that, I really think it's interesting solely from the idea that this is supposedly the Trump administration and Rand Paul working together on a solution that is within the law and is not some unfair executive order. Rand Paul is a constitutionalist. He's not going to, he wouldn't be pushing for an executive order like this, I don't think.
No.
I mean, this would be an interesting solution for a lot of people. So, a lot of folks, Bill. Maybe if I say it that way, you'd come on.
I'm not opposing anything. I mean, you guys are so much smarter than I am. I'm just
boring
here.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do.
Okay. Okay, let me switch gears to Otto Warmbier's parents.
Yeah.
They came out this week, and they were talking about how the North Koreans had taken pliers to their son, that he was blind, they had beaten him. And it's a pretty compelling story. However, the coroner has come out and said that's not true. His teeth were fine. What's happening there, Bill? What do you think that is?
You know, the grief takes a lot of different faces, and this family is just absolutely destroyed and devastated because Otto was, I believe, murdered by the North Koreans. So are they overstating it? Perhaps.
I believe he was murdered by them as well.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that this North Korean regime are as evil as any regime on the face of the earth, and I'm including Iran in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it may have to come to someone saying, if they attack someone else, then I think that Trump will move against them.
Let me switch to Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, the stuff is starting to stack up at the docks and at the airports. And you know that, I mean, this is a disaster of biblical proportions. I mean,
this is a parallel to New Orleans and Katrina.
I think it's bigger than that. I think it's much bigger than that.
Yeah, it certainly would, but the same problems are in place.
Correct.
When you saw what happened in Texas and the way that the Texans dealt with it, you were dealing with a efficient government. You were dealing with people who are basically organized and responsible. So that they were able to take the aid that was offered and really move quickly.
Yeah, but
living in Florida.
But also, you know, Texans, I mean, you know, it's not an island. And so people came from all over Texas. They're still going every weekend.
Yeah, sure. They're still going.
Sure, and they have gas and they can get places. They don't have any fuel. They don't have cell phones. They have nothing. So
let me make my point here.
All right. Okay. All right.
All right.
Man, you're so
hostile. Government of Puerto Rico is basically inefficient. So was the government of New Orleans.
Yes.
Okay? So that when disaster strikes, their response is not going to be as effective as the Texas or Florida response.
Correct.
Period.
Correct.
All right. So what we have now is the aid is coming in, but it's not being distributed because the infrastructure is devastated and there's no organization at the local level. So it's going to get to the folks. It's just going to take much longer. Now, what can any human being do? Trump's going there on Tuesday. I don't know what anybody can do when you don't have cell phone service, when your infrastructure is knocked out, you can't get truck drivers to truck this stuff into the inner portions of the island.
They don't have any gas to get their trucks moving.
But I mean, they're bringing things in at a record rate. The Marines are on the ground.
We have five or ten? I think we have 10,000 FEMA workers. We're at the hospitals. The governor of Puerto Rico said, hey, don't bring the, you know, USS Comfort in yet, the naval hospital ship that just arrived, I think, yesterday or is on its way. They're saying, you know, don't bring that in. We need to fix the local hospitals first. So we sent in people and teams to get the generators and to get everything going with the hospitals. Now that they've cleared one of the ports, they can actually pull the hospital ship in.
Right.
I mean, he seems like he has done everything that he could do, and is supposed to do.
You're talking about Trump now?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like he's done it.
Every circumstance is different, but there doesn't seem to be a dereliction on the part of the federal government. But if you put on CNN, of course there is, and they're all racist, and on and on.
Okay, so one last question on Puerto Rico, and that is the Jones Act. Are you for a repeal of the...
Yes, I am. I mean, if you can get repeal. Aid...
Not just temporary, but like really repeal that. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. And Beck and I should leave that to... Look, if somebody else wants to help out Puerto Rico or any place else in America, they should be able to help out without a bunch of bureaucratic nonsense. And, you know, in the post-apocalyptic society with a zombies attack, we're going to need a lot of help back.
Exactly.
So we got to get rid of that Jones Act.
Okay, I'm not sure about the zombie thing, but I agree with you. Okay.
Not sure about the zombie thing?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
No. Have you ever been to Bolivia? No, I'm only it's a joke, Media Matters people.
The new book, Killing England, is on sale now. Number one book in the country. And you're welcome, Bill. You're welcome.
No, you made it.
No.
If I had to redesign the cover, I would have George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and Glenn Beck, everyone.
That's the first time he's ever used my first name.
Oh, my God.
I think that's the first time he's ever used my first name. Let's write this day down. It's a special day. Bill O'Reilly at BillO'Reilly.com. Find his new book, Killing England, on sale everywhere. Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye. I really do think that's the first time he ever used my first name.
That's true. You're always just Beck.
I'm just Beck. Did you know that when somebody comes in to break into your home, even if they're there for just a couple of minutes, the average loss is about $2,500. So, you know, what are they taking? They're coming in and they're just grabbing stuff, going through your stuff and just grabbing it. Now, that's what they've taken out of the house. That's not necessarily all the damage that has been done to the house. And if you've ever had your car broken into or your home broken into, it's weird. It's really weird. And it takes you a while before you start to feel safe in your own home again. You need your family to feel safe. This is your shelter from the storm outside. Get Simply Safe Home Security. They will protect every door and every window in your home. You get motion sensors and entry sensors and glass break sensors. It's completely wireless, so there's no holes in the wall. There's no, you know, there's no wiring or anything. This is so easy. In 30 minutes, you will set it up yourself, really. And without a contract, $15 a month, they monitor and they'll send police or fire or ambulance, whatever needs to be done. Professional monitoring 24/7 for $15 a month. Simply Safe. That's all you want here. I just want my house Simply Safe, please. Just can you make it just safe, please? Yes. SimplySafeBeck.com. You go there, you get a special 10% discount. You order today at SimplySafeBeck.com. If you feel like a feeling, I think we're going to be robbed today, you can go to your local Best Buy and they'll have it in your home tonight. You'll be able to pick it up and install it in your home and you'll have it in 30 minutes. But if you can wait, save the extra 10%. And they'll ship it to you. It's SimplySafeBeck.com. SimplySafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck.
That's weird.
Glenn Beck.
Hey, I'm really excited that we're back in Cuba. And they're using some sort of a... You know, I hate to use this term, but like a ray gun. We don't know exactly what they're doing, but 20 diplomats, U.S. diplomats, have gone home. They have hearing loss and other symptoms. They're being hit by something. We're under attack by the Cubans, and we don't know what it is yet. Also, there was something else we want to mention before the week closes out. The son of Hamas, which I think his dad either was the founder of it or ran Hamas. He was on this program about a year or so ago. He went to the UN this week, and he gave the Palestinian Authority a piece of his mind. Listen to this.
My name is Mus'ab Hassan Youssef. I grew up in Ramallah as a member of Hamas. I addressed the words to the Palestinian Authority, which claims to be the sole legitimate representative of the Palestinian people. I ask, where does your legitimacy come from? The Palestinian people did not elect you, and they did not appoint you to represent them. You are self-appointed. Your accountability is not to your own people. This is evidenced by your own total violation for their human rights. In fact, the Palestinian individual and their human development is the least of your concerns. You kidnap Palestinian students from campus and torture them in your jails. You torture your political rivals. The suffering of the Palestinian people is the outcome of your selfish political interest. You are the greatest enemy of the Palestinian people. If Israel did not exist, you would have no one to blame. Take responsibility for the outcome.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
I've told you for a while that the entire world is being remapped, redesigned. Everything, our businesses, our infrastructure, everything, including the maps. And Europe is on the verge of a complete redesign of the maps. Not since World War I have we seen the possibility for so many countries or border changes. Last Sunday, the Spanish region of Catalonia Catalonia is going to head to the polls to decide whether or not to break away from Spain. They've been threatening this now for a while, and it's been heating up. At the moment, thousands of people are rallying in the streets, but the Spanish government doesn't really like this. It's not taking this divorce lightly. 4,000 Spanish police have already been deployed to the regions. Polling stations are being forcefully shut down, and politicians in Catalonia are being arrested. The streets in Catalonia are about to erupt. Now, this is only another ripple in the coming tidal wave of problems for the EU. The amount of nations looking to split from the EU or regions looking to gain independence is staggering. Spain, France, the UK, Italy all have strong independent movements inside of their own borders, and the dominoes are about to fall. So what does this all mean? Well, the world, at least Europe, is still struggling from trying to recover from the 2008 economic crisis. They really haven't recovered from that yet. Europe was one of the hardest hit. Four of the five top GDPs in Europe all have either strong regional separatist movements or they're looking to leave the EU. Now think about that. What does that do to the economy? Spain is number 14, the 14th largest economy in the world. If Catalonia separates on Sunday, Spain will lose 20% of their GDP, and that's a country on the verge of civil war or civil unrest already. France, the UK, and Italy are all in the top 10 of the world's GDP. What happens if this process around the same time period, if this process just starts to sweep? Change is taking place on a massive scale all over the world. And you're just now beginning to see the first steps in the great global redesign.
It's Friday, September 29th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Does seem like that's a prediction, at least mildly, yeah, you could say it's come true, or at least coming true.
Coming true.
I mean, you know, you've been talking about that for
especially Spain.
Yeah.
But all of this, we've been saying that the and you know what's really scary is we're at the beginning of it. The next collapse is going to be the one that really hurts. When we collapse again, have another 2008 or worse. That's when the crap's going to hit the fan. Because all the seeds have been planted now, and it's going to happen all over the world. And it's going to happen quickly. Once it begins, the dominoes are all going to fall. So we need each other. Let's help each other. Let's be good to each other. And let's remember what's important and what matters most. We wanted to get Phil Kirpin on because the Menendez trial, this is a senator who is still a sitting senator and is a co-defendant on 22 felony counts of fraud, bribery, and related offenses. Nobody's covering this.
That's incredible. I mean, you would think this is a gigantic story. And I feel like, is it one of those stories where, you know, the media is just doing it out of bias? Is it that they think there really is nothing to this?
Because this is a senator, a Democratic senator, and he's still a member of good standing on the Senate Democratic Caucus. He's going through a trial, 22 felony accounts.
And they won't even say they will ask him to resign if he's convicted.
So Phil Kirpin has been following this, and we wanted to get him on. Phil, how are you?
I'm doing great, Glenn. It's been a while. How are you?
I know. It's been a while. It's great to talk to you. You're covering this. You're following it. And break it down, because I have absolutely really no idea what this is about, because nobody's covering it.
This trial has a little bit of everything. And there is a lot of print coverage. There are probably four or five print reporters that have been in the courtroom every day. There is close to zero national TV coverage of this. In fact, Media Research Center did a study. They found that I think CBS has spent 22 seconds on this trial in the first 3 weeks, and NBC has spent zero.
So, unbelievable.
You know, it's not because this trial wouldn't be an incredible ratings boom for them, because this trial features multiple international supermodels. It features private jets, luxury resorts in the Caribbean and in Paris. I mean, it's got all of these stunning visuals that should be a huge ratings boom, and yet, for whatever reason, TV's completely ignored it. But here's the basic version of the facts in this case. An eye doctor from Palm Beach, Florida, Solomon Melgen, developed a very special relationship with Senator Menendez, where he gave the senator access to his private jet whenever he wanted it, to fly wherever he wanted, and access to his luxury resort villa at Casa de Campos, one of the most luxurious resorts in the Caribbean, in the Dominican Republic. He paid for his hotel rooms in Paris when he wanted to go there.
Jeez.
And they basically lived together. They lived this massive international luxury lifestyle. And all of it, by the way, was paid for with money stolen from me and you and everyone listening to this through Medicare fraud. The doctor, who is the senator's co-defendant, has already been convicted in a separate case of stealing $105 million from Medicare in one of the largest Medicare fraud schemes in history. And so you've got this massive international luxury lifestyle.
And you have
with money stolen from us.
Yeah, and you have, you know, Medicare. I mean, if a Republican were doing this, any Republican, this would be everywhere.
Well, they would
nonstop.
Have quit the day the indictment came down, if not before. I mean, this guy was indicted 2 years ago, and he's only finally going to trial now. He stayed in the Senate the entire time. And the reason there are bribery charges here is that in exchange for this international luxury lifestyle, the senator is accused of doing three things for Dr. Melgen. Number one, he got visas for all of his supermodel girlfriends, Svetlana Buchek from the Ukraine and Juliana Lopez from Brazil, and a 22-year-old model named Rosiel Polanco from the Dominican Republic. In the case of the model from the Dominican, she had already been rejected for her visa when Menendez stepped in and said, do whatever it takes, and he got the visa approved. So there were the visas for the girl.
Phil.
Yeah.
America cannot have enough global supermodels.
I know. A lot of people look at the photos I've seen and say, he did nothing wrong.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Supermodels, yeah. They can all come in at night in a tunnel. I don't care. Yeah. Anyway.
The second thing was a port security contract in the Dominican Republic. And this is kind of amazing because this guy was an eye doctor. He had no background in security of any kind. But basically, he bought a disused and a not honored port security contract that the Dominican Republic had signed with a company and then said, we're not going to honor that contract for whatever reason. This guy Melgin buys the contract and then has Menendez go to bat with the State Department and with Customs and Border Patrol and with the Commerce Department and tries to get the entire U.S. government to pressure the Dominican to honor this contract, which would have been worth hundreds of millions of dollars to Melgin. There was testimony just yesterday from a Customs and Border Patrol official who said that Senator Menendez called her and said, do not allow any security equipment to go to the Dominican Republic until they honor my buddy's contract. And the official said that she thought it was very odd that a U.S. senator was trying to undermine the law enforcement mission of Customs and Border Patrol. So that was the second thing, was trying to steer this Dominican port security contract. And the third, and they've just started hearing testimony on this, I think this coming week is going to be really explosive on this. The third thing, and by far the worst in my judgment, was that he actually tried to intervene with HHS to have the Medicare fraud investigation dropped. Basically, he wanted them to say that it was okay for Melgin to massively overbill Medicare by millions and millions of dollars. And he went to extraordinary lengths on that. In fact, at one point, he had a meeting with the HHS Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, with Harry Reid in Harry Reid's U.S. Capitol office, asking her to intervene and to drop the overbilling dispute.
This is insane. I mean, this is an insane story, especially when you can put it up to the news kind of the day, where everybody in the media is talking about Tom Price taking flights that cost $1 million. And, I'm not excited about that story by any means. But we're talking about over $100 million. We've got supermodels, private jet flights, all sorts of crazy government contract business. And
a very powerful senator.
Yeah, and 22 seconds.
He was chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, in fact. And, that was one of the things, when he was pressuring the State Department to intercede with the Dominican and push this port security contract to his friend, he told them, if you don't do it, I'm going to have hearings in my committee. So he was using his official position pretty clearly. And that's, I think, going to make his defense. His defense argument, he's basically making two arguments in his defense, which I find very unpersuasive. We'll see what the jury thinks, of course. But he doesn't dispute that all of these facts happen. But what he says is, I call it the Bismarcky defense. He says, we were just friends. We were friends. A friend lets a friend use his jet in his resort, and a friend helps his friend with visas and government contracts. It was all just friendship. It wasn't bribery. To me, if being friends with the person who corrupts his official office so that you can both live an international high life together, if somehow friendship makes that legal, then the laws are very flawed in this country.
Yeah.
If that's legal, then the law is not sufficient, because that should not be legal. It's not ethical. It's not acceptable. So this friendship defense is sort of one of the central arguments. The other is based on the McDonald decision at the Supreme Court, the Bob McDonald decision, which really narrowed the definition of official acts. And they're trying to argue that, look, as a senator, he didn't take any official actions when he was pressing the executive branch to do things like approve visas or pressure port security contracts or drop a billing dispute, because a senator can only vote on legislation as an official act. And the government's response to that argument is basically, if that's right, then the bribery statute would allow putting a PayPal account up on a senator's website and saying, give me $50,000 and I'll advocate whatever your issue is with the executive branch. That can't be the case. But we'll find out. I mean, we'll see in this trial whether the definition of official act is now so narrow that a senator can take bribes in exchange for taking action, with respect to the executive branch. And so the defense arguments here, in my judgment, don't dispute any of the corrupt facts. And therefore, even if somehow he's acquitted, which I consider unlikely, but even if somehow he's acquitted, if the Senate Ethics Committee is worthy of its name, he ought to be kicked out of the Senate anyway, because he doesn't dispute that he did all these things.
So, Phil, can you put this on a scale? Can you compare this to any other scandal? I mean, this is huge. Can you compare this to any other scandal that you've seen?
I mean, There's really no comparison to anything, at least in our lifetimes. I mean, there were some. There was a senator who was kicked out for corruption in the 40s, I think. I don't know too much of the details of that case. But we've never seen anything quite like this, just the scale and the scope and the brazenness of it. Here's something that's kind of interesting. You know, one of the things the prosecution kept saying in their opening statement is he did all of this for a man who wasn't even a constituent, because the doctor's from Palm Beach, Florida. Menendez is a senator from New Jersey. He basically was dedicating his office to the service of somebody who wasn't even a constituent. And Menendez's lawyers responded, well, no, U.S. Senate is a national office, so everyone in America is his constituent. And the judge said, I don't think so. And he actually ordered briefing on the definition of the word constituent. So.
Wow. That's amazing. Are they, because I'm surprised, you know, if this is a Republican, every media member would go to every Republican and ask them their opinion on Menendez.
To disavow him.
To disavow him. Yeah. Will you step down? Has there been any attempt at that? And are the reason why the Democrats are sticking by them because they think Christie will, you know, since he's still in office for a few more weeks, it seems, that he would give a Republican the office if he has to step down and they'd have an advantage in the Senate?
You know, the media showed a little bit of interest a few weeks ago, right when the trial started, and CNN did some questioning. You know, CNN has actually done pretty good coverage of this trial on their website, but almost nothing on the TV. I don't know why.
Well, you only have 24 hours.
Yeah, right. You only have 24 hours a day. Yeah. You know, some of the Democrats have been asked. Chuck Schumer's been asked. There have been some RNC trackers out asking sort of this. The amazing thing to me is a lot of Democrats have been asked this question. Do you think Menendez should resign if he's convicted? And they won't even say yes to that. They'll kind of say, I don't know. He'll have appeals. I don't know. A convicted felon in the Senate might be all right.
What?
No, there's not.
So you're a convicted felon. You're a convicted felon. You lose your right to vote, but not lose your right to vote in the Senate.
Correct.
That's crazy.
To kick someone out of the Senate under the Constitution, you need a 2/3 vote. And so if they do an expulsion vote and the Democrats want to rally behind they could cast one of the worst votes of their career and actually keep him there. But if you vote to let a convicted bribe-taking felon senator stay in there, I think that's a vote you're going to have a problem with for the rest of your career, which may be brief. Now, the reason, you're correct, the reason they want to stall and run out the clock is if a conviction comes down next month, they're going to be looking at the calendar and saying, Governor Christie's only in office until January 16th. Mm-hmm. All the polls say that Phil Murphy, the Democrat's probably going to win that race in November. So if we can somehow stall and run out the clock and say, he's pursuing appeals and maybe he'll announce a leave of absence, which has no legal meaning, and get to January 16th, then he can resign and we'll have a Democratic governor appointing the replacement instead of a Republican. So they're just trying to run out the clock. For political advantage, I think, is what's happening.
Phil, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks as this trial continues. I'd love to get some updates from you. Thank you so much.
Phil Kirpin is the president of American Commitment, and you could probably read he raised a lot of really great opinion pieces
all over
the web. AmericanCommitment.org is the site.
Our world is a place of uncertainty and stress. The tension and possible military action in North Korea, the tragic hurricanes in Texas and Florida, now Puerto Rico. What do these things mean for your money, your family's livelihood? How do you protect your investment? I just told you about Catalonia in Spain. That is on the edge. Russia is on the edge. Ukraine is on the edge. We just need a couple of dominoes to fall, or actually we need a couple of dominoes not to fall, but we just have a couple of bad hits in the economy, and it is 2008 times 10. And it's going to happen because it always does. So are you prepared? We could freak out about it, or worse, we could ignore it. And then what happens? I want you to protect yourself and protect your assets. Do you remember what happened when 2008 happened and you opened up your 401k or you got your, at the end of the year, you got your statement in, and I can't tell you how many people said, same thing I did. I don't even want to look at it. Don't be in that situation. For as little as $2,500, you can get a 3-month price protection program all the way up to a year for a $25,000 investment package with gold. So physical gold. You buy $25,000 worth of gold. You put it in your IRA. And if the price of gold goes down a year from now, they will make that up with gold. No stock is doing that. Nothing does that. There's no really way to lose here. Protect yourself. Read the important risk information. Find out if buying gold or silver is right for you. Call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE, or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So it was good to see, walking back into the Capitol yesterday, Steve Scalise. He was the guy who was shot in the during the baseball game or the baseball game warm-up when the dangerous leftist Democrat went out and had a mission to kill all of the Republicans in Congress. And Steve almost didn't make it. He returned yesterday with a walker and some assistance, but he looked pretty healthy and it was very emotional. Here's what he said.
When I was laying out on that ball field, the first thing I did once I was down and I couldn't move anymore is I just started to pray. And I will tell you, it gave me an unbelievable sense of calm, knowing that at that point it was in God's hands. But I prayed for very specific things. And I'll tell you, pretty much every one of those prayers was answered. And they were some pretty challenging prayers I was putting in God's hands. But he really did deliver for me and my family. And it just gives you that renewed faith in understanding that the power of prayer is something that you just cannot underestimate.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat Gray is here, and he's kind of the guy who, you know, would come out, you know, in the summer, and he would just be the guy who would scream, "Get off my lawn!" And everybody in the neighborhood would scatter, and they'd be afraid, because he knew everybody in the neighborhood, and he was going to tell your parents. And that's who he is. And
of course, I was doing this in 1957.
Yeah.
Because that's it.
He was that guy.
Anymore.
He was that guy when he was 8 years old. When he was eight, he was doing that. Welcome, Pat. How are you?
I was eight in 1957. Wow. Am I older than I thought?
Yeah, you weren't even born in 1957.
No, I was not.
No,
I was not.
You're born in 1953.
No, I was not. I noticed that you guys are avoiding the real issue.
The real issue?
Yeah.
Well, we've avoided it.
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
I mean, how long can you avoid calling a racist a racist? The racist racism of white supremacist Melania Trump. I can't believe you're not even...
Why?
You didn't even lead with this today?
No,
you didn't talk about it at all today?
No, that was... We were covering up for the...
You sure were.
The racist...
It's pathetic. I mean, I thought we were at least going to... Yeah, we wanted to give the guy a chance and his wife, but we're going to call it when we see it, and when it's wrong, we're going to call him out.
So what exactly what has Melania Trump done?
Please, like you don't know. Fortunately, there's Cambridge Elementary School librarian who called her racism out when she donated Dr. Seuss books to the school. And I was like, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Librarian, for pointing out how racist Dr. Seuss books are.
Okay, wait. Dr. Seuss was a socialist.
And a racist. I do not like green eggs and ham. That's obvious code for I don't like black people. It's obvious.
It is not.
No. Would you like them here or there? I would not like them anywhere. Clearly what he's saying is you don't want to see blacks. They have no place in our society.
That's not what he's saying.
Eat them. Here they are. Pathetic. He's asking people to cannibalize minorities and especially black kids.
I don't think
it's just despicable. Yeah. He wants to use them for food. And fortunately, the Cambridge, Massachusetts elementary school librarian wrote a blog post about how they're rejecting the donation that she gave.
Okay, so I do want to point out, as he's saying this, I am realizing that I would not eat them with a fox.
Mm-hmm.
Red fox. What color was he?
Oh my god,
he was red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, you.
No, he was black.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure he was black. I won't eat them on a train. What do you use to power a train?
Coal. It's black.
Which is black. Black. I mean, you are onto something. Mm-hmm. And this librarian, I dismissed her.
At first.
Up to about 20 seconds ago. But now,
well, this case is
this a solid case.
It's undeniable.
Right.
She says it's racist. They're steeped in, Dr. Seuss is steeped in racist propaganda, caricatures, and harmful stereotypes.
Now, I
didn't cite any examples, of course. And last year or a couple years ago, Michelle Obama donated Dr. Seuss books to the same
was,
school.
Yeah. Okay.
But
that was
they didn't seem to be racist then.
So hang on just a second.
At the same
is that
school?
Amazing? So it's incredible.
Dr. Seuss is, they're steeped in racism. What? All the who's in Whoville?
I don't know. Stars on thars?
I mean, there's no, there are no colors or they're
well, green. I mean,
they're not real people.
No.
They're not.
Yeah.
They're.
Yeah. But I mean, in all, because this is the second time we've actually discussed star-bellied sneeches in this segment
it
over
is.
The past
That's
week
right.
or two. But the star-bellied sneeches book is totally a commentary on racism, and it's about
how silly racism is.
And it's
right?
whole point.
Yertle the Turtle is all about fascism.
Yeah, it's true. Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
It was.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't catch
the
deeper meaning of Yertle.
How did you?
It's been a while since you haven't had kids reading Dr. Seuss
in
a while.
For a while.
Yertle the Turtle is the greatest. I think it was written about Hitler, and it's all about fascism.
Wow.
And, I mean, Dr. Seuss.
And you're right. He was a socialist.
He was a socialist.
Yeah.
How could you possibly say Dr. Seuss was, I mean, ah.
It's they hate the Trumps so much that it's gotten this ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's
where they can't even donate books to a school without getting.
Well, I was really offended. I was really offended that what she said was. And let's see if I have this story in front of me, because this quote from her is just so snotty. She said, "I'm an advocate for inclusive libraries. I work in a district, however, that has plenty of resources, which contributes directly to excellence. My students have access to a library with over 9,000 volumes and a librarian with a graduate degree in library science." Oh, my God.
In other words, we don't
stoop
to Dr. Seuss.
Guys, a library
or donations.
It's a book with shell. It's a big room that has shelves with books on it.
Yeah.
It's not a science.
Why not go out of your way to give gift books to underfunded and underprivileged communities?
Which I'm sure she's also done.
Right. I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
And why don't you go out of your way and say, wow, thank you very much. We're really fortunate to have these books. I'm going to give them to a school that I know of.
Yeah.
Because they're so blind with hatred, they can't do it.
I know.
They
I don't know.
Can't do it.
Take your master's in library science and move to a needy community where they actually need someone in that role.
Or, you know,
instead of staying in Cambridge.
Since you seem to be such a leftist anyway, why don't you just do what all good leftists do and burn the books?
It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
And that was the end of Yertle the Turtle, if you remember. That was actually the last
was
line.
I don't remember.
No, I don't know. Really? Is that true story, Yertle? No, I don't think it was.
Are you filling in for me next week?
Yeah, Thursday and Friday.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Who's filling in for me Monday through?
I believe they scheduled Doc for that.
Doc okay. Thompson.
Doc Thompson will be doing that.
That's got to piss you off. I mean, Doc's been stabbing you in the back for
he talks about you behind.
I didn't want to say anything, but now that it's out, there is a feud brewing.
Really?
Behind
the
scenes.
I haven't noticed that at all.
Yeah.
Wow. Either of them.
No. Stu, don't tell Stu I told you this, but Stu's part of it. He's fueling it.
Wouldn't Stu, I know? Why would you just tell me if I was fueling it?
Stu is sitting right there. I don't have to tell him. You just did.
He's
too stupid to know.
The jealousy of Doc and Stu is crazy.
Really?
Huh.
I'm your friend. I'll only tell you the truth.
Is that you, Roger?
I don't know what that means. Thanks very much, Pat.
I don't either. I just throwing out.
Pat Gray Unleashed, by the way, coming up, Blaze Radio TV Network, and you can subscribe to the podcast.
Wait. Before you leave. Could I get Justice Ginsburg, please, who is looking so healthy lately? I don't know if you see her. I saw, I mean, she's really sick, isn't she? Did she have cancer or something?
I don't
She think... did, but I think
this is just okay at the time. Old, because she's, how old is she now?
84.
Oh, she looks 84. Every bit of it.
She does, and she can't hear, and the guy had to repeat, Charlie Rose, right? He had to repeat the questions over and over and over. Are you talking about the interview she did with him?
Now listen to this. Listen to this answer. Tell us. Well, you know what happened. What happened? What do you think happened in the last election? Here's Justice Ginsburg.
Do you think sexism played a role in that campaign?
Do I think so?
Yes.
I have no doubt that it did.
Yeah. Yay! Let's clap. Now's the time to clap.
Can we stop for
a
second?
I think it was decisive.
Why is that a clap line?
I don't.
Why is seriously?
Yeah.
Why is that a clap line? Because if it did happen, you should be horrified.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If she's just saying it for political reasons, then you clap because she's on our side.
Right.
If it really happened, you don't clap for that.
Yeah, this happens with global warming a lot. Like someone will come up and be like, global warming, if we don't stop what we're doing, it's going to kill 9 million people. They said it. 9 million people are going to die. And it's crazy. You're supposed to be rooting against
really
people
crazy.
Dying.
If you're a real journalist, isn't your follow-up then, was it sexism when Barack Obama beat her in 2008? Was that sexism too?
Yes.
Isn't that
yes.
your next question?
I bet they would say yes.
Not for this guy. He doesn't challenge her at all.
Go ahead, play the rest of the clip, please.
That it was
decisive. In other words, if Hillary Clinton had been a man, she would have won that election going away.
Stop it.
There's so many things that might have been decisive, but that was a major factors.
Mm. Can I tell you something? When I was in Nantucket.
Makes you feel good. She's a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah. So when I was up at the Nantucket Project, I said, and got a big laugh. They said, the question was, why did Hillary Clinton lose? And I said, because she was awful. She was just awful. And nobody laughed and nobody clapped. She was awful. She was one of the worst candidates that I've seen in my lifetime. She was awful, an awful candidate. And she was thoroughly corrupt. Everybody laughed. I mean, it wasn't a laugh like, you know, ha ha ha, he made a joke. It was like, yeah, that's true.
And from all the people who voted for her anyway.
Yeah. I mean, there's such a recognition.
Oh, she's
outside
corrupt.
Of
Everybody
the
knows
media.
It.
Yeah. There's such
Everybody
a, outside of the media, there's such recognition with regular people that voted for her. Oh, yeah, she's absolutely corrupt.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of that goes along with people who voted for Trump, too. Like, they don't necessarily love him. But, you know, he was closer to what they wanted to deal with at the time. And, and so they
love
they
one thing
their
about
nose.
Him, that he speaks his mind. They love that about him. I that's what I've come to realize. They just love that he's outrageous at times with his speech. And they like that because nobody else is. And so they excuse everything else.
I just wish we would see the same boldness that we see in speech with policy.
Yeah.
We have a tax plan that just came out.
Terrible.
That is, it's a moderate.
It's actually an increase on a lot
on
of people.
A lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it's overall, I mean, a slight improvement
it's
to
okay.
what we have.
It's not okay.
It's not the worst plan ever.
No.
But I mean, it's not bold at all. It is. I would be disappointed in George Bush for proposing that or any other Republican.
Oh, yeah.
Mitch McConnell, anybody.
Was it David French that was on with us yesterday, the day before, who said the rhetoric does not match the policies? We are fighting like one side is the devil, you know, to the other. We're fighting back and forth. And the policies, if you look at them side by side, they're pretty
they're
close.
The same.
Right. They're about the same.
Like,
what are we doing?
There's an argument to be made. You go all the way to the wall and you pay the political price for a 10% flat tax. And you don't care and you go all the way to the wall. They want us to go all the way to the wall to go from 39 to 35? Like,
And 32 to 35
And
for
32
others?
To 35.
And 10 to 12 for some others?
Yeah, it's just...
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Really doesn't.
All right, Pat's coming up in just a few moments here on the Blaze Television Radio Network. And next week on this program, Thursday and Friday, he'll be filling in here.
Only because Stu is the executive producer.
I had nothing to do with it.
Stopped him from doing work the rest of the week and picked his boy, Doc, over...
over Pat. I don't know what happened there. I thought they were friends, and
really interesting.
Don't know what happened.
Summary of events, I would say. I would call it interesting.
Pat and Stu, and that falls apart. Now we know why. Jealousy, rage, hatred, racism, all of it. Traveling can be a hassle. Flights, hotels, rental cars. You know what it is? It's Stu is French, and Pat is Irish. And you, I mean, the long history of the French hatred for the Irish.
Actually, American. American citizen. So is Pat. Been that since birth.
Okay, Mr. Bergier. We established on this program years ago that you are a French-Canadian spy. And we all know it.
Been to Canada twice. Been to France.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your last name's Beck. So you want to go back to the history of that one?
I'd prefer not.
Okay.
Let's leave it at that. Anyway, rental cars and the hotels and the airfare, it can be overwhelming. You'll spend, the average time, I think, is 89 minutes online trying to book your travel. Not with Upside. Upside will reward you with a gift card to places like Amazon every time you buy a business trip. And the treatment you're going to get from their customer service specialist, they call them navigators, amazing. Recently, a navigator noticed somebody was, booking a three-hour flight, and they were landing in a middle seat, and the navigator just popped online and was like, I don't think you want this, right? Can I move you to if you move here, it'll get an aisle seat, and you'll have extra leg room. Oh, thank you very much. They're going to help you make this really, really easy. Their goal is to take that 89 average time. If you go to book travel right now without Upside, it takes you about 89 minutes to do it. That's crazy. Their goal is to get it down to, I think, 3.5 minutes. And I think they have it down to 6 right now.
That's still really fast, way faster than you're going to get on the other sites, because they actually give you the
89 minutes is the average. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy. Upside, go there now. You've used a promo code Beck. You'll get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon, so you win. You're going to get a great price for your company, so they win. The hotel and the rental cars and everything else, they win. This is a win all the way around. Use the promo code Beck. Get that minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com when you buy your next business trip at Upside.com. You deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchases required. See the site for complete details, but go there now. Upside.com. Promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So there's some good news on the GDP growth. Came out today, 3.1%, which is good.
Solid.
Hadn't happened since, 2015? And that is good. Any growth is good. So thank you, Mr. President, for that and everybody else that's moving things ahead. Interested to see what happens with the tax reform. I'm tired of MSNBC is just nonstop, and so is CNN. Nonstop. Donald Trump's getting rich off of this tax cut. Stop it.
It's so ridiculous. They just they're using the 4%
cut.
The exact same talking points they use on every single cut of taxes. Look, the people who pay the taxes are the ones that have money so that they have earnings, so that they have taxes.
And why do we have a 39% tax cut? Because a 39% tax rate. Because when I say to you, they're taking 40% of your paycheck.
Yeah.
That's obscene, mm-hmm. and everyone knows it.
Yep.
And that's just the federal. By the time you're finished with these clowns, with city and state, you are over 50%, nearing 60% of your pay cut, of your paycheck. That's wrong. It's criminal.
It's completely ridiculous. But when you've taken 50% of the population and told them they don't have to pay any taxes, you can't cut theirs any further. And they've even done that. They've started refunding beyond zero.
Glenn Beck.